You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Jacinda Ardern exemplified strong leadership during the early days of the COVID pandemic. She made several tough calls and helped to bring New Zealand to a low mortality rate. I spoke to Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences Professor Chris Bullen, who explained the actions Ardern took and their consequences for New Zealand. I started off by asking how Ardern accomplished a lower death toll than other contemporary countries for New Zealand.
Well, I think a number of areas that she played an important role in, and the first was her decisive and bold decision to lock New Zealand down, essentially to close the borders in March 2020. What that did was give us time to set up systems and processes and gear up for when cases of COVID started to hit the scene, and also gave us some lead time ahead of other countries, you know, with understanding the virus better, and when the vaccine became available, we'd already kind of progressed to a level where the public was broadly on side with a lot of the behavioural measures that she promoted in her daily stand-ups around, you know, trying to minimise transmission by staying at home and thinking of others and that sort of thing. So I think the first one was a really bold, you know, difficult decision to make, a really tough call. I mean, biggest one since probably a prime minister during the Second World War had to make, to ask the team of 5 million to work collectively for the greater good and to sacrifice their individual liberty for a period of time and to suffer financial hardship as well. So I think that was amazing. And then, you know, related to that was her excellence in communicating with the public through the daily stand-ups with Ashley Bloomfield. She had an amazing grasp of the issues at a pretty complex level, was able to communicate those really well and give a sense of personal understanding and compassion. So those terms like the team of 5 million and be kind and all those kind of little memes that she communicated were important. And then I think the third thing was that she authorised, you know, the heavy investment in propping up businesses and also in the systems, skills, training and service delivery for all the, you know, surveillance system, contact tracing system, the genomics, all the testing regimes when the vaccine became available, the quarantine managed isolation system and all of that kind of stuff has cost us millions and millions of dollars, and she needed to sign off on that. So she did that to enable all that to happen while we were in lockdown and gear up. And I think as a result of that, we had a lower mortality compared with most other countries in the world. And actually, our economy has had a much lower hit than comparable economies around the world.
Following that, what other countries have had a comparably good COVID response?
Well, it's really been countries in Asia and Pacific region. So I think if you look at Australia, it was a bit patchier than New Zealand because they had states to manage, not just one country. Each of the states adopted different approaches. And initially, you know, Melbourne had some real struggles with overwhelmed health systems and so forth. But ultimately, they got back on board and they didn't do so badly. But countries like Taiwan, Singapore, they did exceedingly well. They were well prepared already because of their previous experience with SARS. And so I think they kind of headed the world initially in their effective response. Hong Kong did really well initially. Japan, and then, you know, all countries unraveled to some extent when the variants became much, much trickier to contain. Overall, if you look at the total mortality in New Zealand per head of population, and deaths avoided, you know, comparing it with if there hadn't been any protections, etc., we've done, you know, we're almost top of the class by any standard.
Is Chris Hipkins expected to make any significant changes to New Zealand's COVID response?
Well, I don't think it's likely, given that he was heavily involved. You know, he kind of took the baton over from Jacinda as he was appointed minister for the COVID response after the initial phase, and he seemed to have a very good grasp of things. What's happened since then, I think there have been some missteps and a bit of unravelling, and there's a kind of post-COVID mentality, even though we've still got lots of cases, people in hospital and people dying every week in New Zealand from COVID, and we've got the burden of long COVID to deal with. So So I think there needs to be a wake-up to realise that we need to invest more in ventilation in our schools and buildings, public buildings. We need to encourage people still to be mask-wearing. Like, I was on a bus this morning coming to work. I was one of only about, 10% of the people on that double-decker bus wearing a mask. But I bet the ventilation was pretty lousy and someone was probably incubating COVID on that bus. And reminding people about vaccinations is still saving lives, even though they don't necessarily stop you getting COVID. If you do get it, you're much less likely to get seriously ill and end up in hospital. So I think, the government, whether under Hipkins and whoever, Dr. Verrill, who's probably likely to pick up this role, will need to review their approach to the long tail of COVID and also, future infectious disease threats that inevitably will come to our shores.
What was the role of the Minister of Health compared to the Prime Minister in managing the COVID situation?
Well, I think the initial phase of those big calls, like going into lockdown, I think it was right that the Prime Minister was there, and the Minister of Health obviously had an important role in making sure the health system was running efficiently and gearing up. So they would have been in daily, talk, but it was such a big deal that a minister with a specific responsibility for COVID needed to be appointed just to focus entirely on that. Was such a huge job, while all the other work of, we've got health reforms going on, so that was enough, I think, for one person to kind of keep their eye on that ball.
And that was Chris Hipkins that was assigned to that role.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, whereas Andrew Young kept on going with the health ministry broadly, with all the other work that needed to be done on all the day-to-day other things besides COVID.
Is the groundwork Ardern laid in managing COVID expected to last beyond the current government and into potential future governments?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. Well, with the health reforms, we've now got a national public health service, so that a lot of the expertise that's been developed, particularly in Auckland, where the main focus for a lot of the cases and outbreaks, in rest homes, and a lot of the knowledge and expertise, that's going to make its way around the whole country, so there's a consistency there. And also just systems and processes, like there's a whole new contact tracing system that was put in place for COVID-19 that's going to remain for all other infectious disease outbreaks, regardless of government. These are things that will continue. So these are just examples of systems and processes and expertise that have been set up, all the genomics expertise and systems. But what often happens is when the acute crisis fades from people's memory, and the urgency to kind of keep the investment up so that we have a standing force diminishes and becomes politically less important. So there is a risk that under this government or subsequent government, the eye will go off the ball and there will be a loss of expertise, a loss of investment in keeping those systems up to date. But I think we need to think about pandemic response in the way we do with civil defence. In other words, there's a standing workforce, standing level of expertise that can be activated at a moment's notice, and we can go and, do what's necessary to protect the public, just in the same way as if there's an earthquake, civil defence gears up and bang, a whole lot of things happen and they've got the systems and everything works, the sirens, the ambulances, everything is mobilised. We need to have that kind of ready work force and systems in place, I believe, because the world's becoming, we're back into a much more globalised world with people moving. Following the Chinese New Year celebrations in China, there's going to be an awful lot more COVID happening in China, and some of those people will be coming to our country. And so, and then there'll be new bugs and new variants of existing bugs that we'll have to face challenges with. So I think the legacy needs to remain whoever's in charge of running the country.
That was Professor Chris Bullen on the Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's leadership during the pandemic.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.